next, let me invite you to pray with me. Father, we praise you for these words. And we acknowledge, Lord, our dependence on you to understand this morning what they mean for us. So I pray that as I speak, Lord, beneath the words that I speak, your Spirit would move and would touch hearts and would apply these words to individual circumstances, so that we might be encouraged, so that we might be challenged, so that we might be reproved. Whatever it is that each person needs here, Lord, may you, by your Spirit, do it. And I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Perhaps you remember back in 2020, all those heady days prior to the pandemic, when those horrendous bushfires ripped through Australia. Does anybody remember that? It was horrible, wasn't it? That was one of the worst things I think I've ever seen. So there were more than 46 million acres of land that were destroyed in those forest fires. Thousands of buildings and homes, around 30 human lives were lost, and around, get this, 1 billion animal lives lost in those fires. They were the most devastating forest fires in the history of Australia. Now, I don't know much about forestry, but there are people that do. And the people that do say that you need three basic things for a forest fire like that. You need, firstly, very hot weather. You need lots of dry vegetation. And you need an ignition source, a spark. And it could be just a very tiny spark, but a spark that spreads wildly. And I remember seeing in the news, do you, just the desperation on those poor people's faces as that fire raged, as they saw the flames coming towards their homes, and they knew that there was nothing that they could do about it. From tiny sparks to something that raged and grew and consumed everything. And for James this morning, our tongue, our words, they are a lot like this. Full of untold destructive power. You know this in your own life, don't you? The Tasmanian devil that is our words. And maybe as I say that, you're thinking about that friendship that took years to build, ruined instantly by one careless word. It happens, doesn't it? Or maybe you're thinking about that family Christmas gathering where, you know, Aunt Uncle Bob or Aunt Jill or whoever it is in your family, everything was going well, and then they drop that risky joke that ruins the whole day for everyone. We've all had those experiences, haven't we? There is nuclear power in our words. And what I want you to see this morning is that there is a theological reason for that. And what I mean by that is that there is a reason our words are so powerful, and that reason is to do with God. That's what I mean when I say that it's a theological reason. See, Christians believe that God made the whole cosmos by his words, right? If a Big Bang did happen, it happened by a word that said, "Let there be light." That's what Christians believe. God creates by his word, he rules by his word, he judges by his word, he saves by his word. And so, my brothers and sisters, if we are here this morning as those who are made in the image of God, we see that in verse 9, we're made to reflect him, you would expect, wouldn't you, that there would be something of the power of his creative word in us, wouldn't you? If we're made in his image, we see that all over the Bible. Now, James, you may have noticed this in your own readings. It's a book that echoes in many ways the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And let me read just a snippet of some of the things that Proverbs says about the power of my words and yours. It says things like this. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The gentle tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. The tongue has the power of life and death. And how many of us this morning know that to be true? Maybe even now, as I say that, you're thinking of words that have been spoken over you in your own life. Words that have energized you, words that have encouraged you, words that have released your potential. Or words that have crushed you. Words that have weighed down on you, words that have lowered the ceiling on your hopes, your expectations in life, your dreams in life. Friends, because we are made in God's image, we carry untold power in the words that we choose to use. Which is why James this morning in our reading, he's got a very simple but very powerful message for us. It's a very direct message. And he's saying this, watch your tongue. It's as simple as that. Watch your tongue. Live your life as one who is aware that a spark from your mouth can turn into a bushfire. And so control it. Keep a rein on it, James is saying. And he gives us two examples. So verse 3. Two examples from everyday life. We control a whole horse, a massive creature, by its mouth, don't we? If you go horse riding, you know that that's true. Verse 4. We control a whole ship. That's very topical in New Haven with so many ships coming in and out. We control a whole ship by a tiny little rudder. The tongue, likewise, is a very small part of you, and yet it steers the whole course of your life, doesn't it? And maybe not even just your life, maybe actually also the lives of others. That is a tremendous responsibility that we bear in the way we use our words. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this sort of thing, my heart sinks when I hear this. Because I know that if every word matters, if every careless word of mine is subject to the judgment of Jesus, I know that as I look back on my life, I know that even as I look back on the last weekend, yes, just the last weekend, and it's not even the middle of Sunday yet, my mouth is just full of careless sparks flying around all over the place. It's true, isn't it? The rudder guiding the ship, right? It's moved here, there and everywhere, causing chaos all over the place. And James, he's a realist. He knows full well that this is an area in which all of us, fall short. He knows that even he, right, this great apostle, he was the half-brother of Jesus, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, even he falls short in this area. You may have noticed as Geraldine read the passage that there's a lot of we language in this passage. It's the only passage in the book of James where it's all we. He keeps talking about we. We all stumble in many ways, verse 1. We curse others made in God's image, verse 9. Some of us stumble more. Some of us stumble less. But we are all on the same boat in this respect, aren't we? It's true. I've seen a lot of heads nodding this morning. Profuse nodding, because it's true. Look with me at verse 7, James goes on. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. You may have been before to Marwell Zoo. I don't know if that's the nearest zoo here. It was where I used to live. But you go to a zoo, and what do you see? You see these amazing wild creatures that have been tamed, don't you? You see rhinos and lions and gorillas all there just relaxing while children are taking photographs of them. We can control and master these massive wild beasts, but, verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We don't like to hear that kind of thing about ourselves, do we? It's not very helpful to our self-esteem to hear that about ourselves. But to whatever degree, some of us more, some of us less, we all know, don't we? We all know that this is true about us. We know that we snap, don't we? We know that we snipe. We know that we gossip. We know that we say unkind things about people when they're not there that we probably wouldn't say if they were there. It's true. We even actually spew out negativity on those that we love the most. I mean, how strange is that? And however hard we try, we just can't help it. Yes, we try and build others up with our words, but we also tear them down. We know that. I'm not saying anything to you this morning that you don't know. But you see, here's what happens when the Spirit of Jesus comes to live within us. Because before he does, before you have the Spirit of Christ living inside of you, you hear the words that I'm saying this morning and you think to yourself, oh, well, you know, no one's perfect, are they? I'm in good company. Everybody's just the same. There's nothing unusual about me. It's no biggie, really. And in fact, actually, if Jesus is so forgiving, well, he'll just forgive me anyway. But the person who truly belongs to Jesus doesn't think that way, my brothers and sisters. The person who truly belongs to Jesus and hears these words from James cries out, Lord, save me from this deadly poison. Save me, Jesus, from this deadly poison within me. Because the true believer knows that this is a tragedy. It is a horror, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in his likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James says it should not be. We know that it should not be. It so often is, but it should not be. And so we say, don't we? Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. How can I use my words as a source of encouragement to others? I want to do that. I want to grow in that. Do you want to grow in that this morning? To have your words be a source of life, a tree of life to others, rather than a source of stumbling. Because, says James, anything else makes about as much sense, and Geraldine read this for us, as a spring that gives both fresh water and salt water. That doesn't happen, does it? I don't know much about springs. I went to a well yesterday and I drew some water. All the water was sweet. Or fig trees that bear olives. That doesn't happen either. Neither of these things make sense. Right? And that's why James is giving these as examples. But I think there's more to those metaphors even than that. Because words from our mouth, says James, they are like water from a spring, right? They're like fruit from a tree. And water, it flows from a source, doesn't it? And fruit, it grows from a root. It grows from a tree. And so do our words. They spring from a source within us. Our words spring from a source within us. Here's what Jesus himself says about that source. He says, the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Words that they gush out from within our hearts. That the fruit of our lips is always consistent, my friends, with what is in here. Let me say that again. The fruit of our lips is always consistent with what is in here. And James's letter, it is all about the consistency between who we claim to be and how we live our lives. And if so, if you've been born again this morning of the word of truth, as James says, if you've been given new hearts by Jesus, you don't need to bicker. You don't need to trash talk and belittle other people. I'm saying this to myself more than I'm saying it to you. That is not who you are anymore in Christ. There is a source of fresh water within you now. Is the Lord saying anything to us this morning? Is Jesus saying anything to you this morning? Is he putting his finger on my life and the way in which I use my words and saying to me, this should not be, this should not be? Maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing these things and you think, gosh, I need open heart surgery in respect to these things. That is a good thing, to recognize our need. There is nothing worse than sleepwalking our way through our Christian lives blind to our need of Jesus. But if that is your need this morning, he is here this morning by his Spirit, in his power, to do that work in your heart, to do that work in my heart, if you'll allow him. If you'll open yourself up and say, Lord, this should not be. I recognize that this should not be. I confess that this should not be. Come and do your work in my heart. Remove that from me. Give me fresh water. Give me a new heart this morning. Give me an experience of new life this morning where I use my words to help and to build others up rather than tear them down. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe you yourself have been on the receiving end of harsh words that have marked you, that have directed your life. It's amazing, isn't it, the things that we hear when we're young. Sometimes things that make absolutely no sense. They're ridiculous things that even now if we think about them and we lay them out, they make no sense, but we hear them. Perhaps we heard them from parents, we heard them from somebody, you know, a school teacher, somebody who was in authority over us, and those words, as stupid as they are, they make their home in our hearts, don't we? Don't they? And they become the words that we hear, telling us that we're failures, telling us that we're not good enough, telling us things that aren't true. And if that's you this morning, and you're in need of healing, God speaks good words over you this morning. That's what the word blessing means. Did you know that? Blessing means good words spoken over you. God speaks the words that you belong to Jesus, that you're a child of God, that you've been made in his image, that there is a future for you, that he has a purpose for your life that is good, that he can use you for his glory and his purposes. So as we ponder those things, let me just give you a moment of quiet. Think about what it is that God is saying to you this morning. And then we'll respond in a time of prayer together. Thank you. Father, I thank you that in your grace and your love, you've made me in your image. And as an image bearer of Jesus, I've been given this awesome gift of words, this creative gift by which I can create life or death in the lives of others. And Father, I'm sorry, and I ask your forgiveness for the ways in which I use this awesome gift to tear others down rather than to build them up. And I pray this morning that you'd forgive me and that you'd restore me. And this day, Lord, I offer my lips to your service that my words might be for the building up of my brothers and sisters, of those around me, that they might minister grace to those I live with, to those I work with, to those I meet socially with. Above all, that they might minister the grace of Christ and of the gospel. And that there may be no salt water mingled in that grace. Father, I recognize the salty words that have been spoken over my life and the voices that I still hear telling me that I'm not when you say that I am. People that I should have been able to trust to speak life to me spoke death to me, and yet, Lord, I know that you speak good words over me. You speak blessing over me because of Jesus. I refuse this morning, Lord, to believe lies. And I turn to you and I believe the words that you speak over me. And I thank you for each and every one of those blessings and of those promises. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to stand now to respond in song, and the words that we're going to sing now are all about what Jesus has done for us, and they're powerful declarations about who he is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him. So let me invite you to stand and sing together before the throne of God.